Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an accomplished entrepreneur from Singapore, a fellow member of the YPO, Sabina Munshi from Singapore. Sabina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Ashutosh. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Sabina is the founder and CEO of Bare Skin. Her brand has been rated as Singapore's number one under the radar skincare label. And as I just mentioned, she's a fellow member of the YPO from Singapore. So Sabina, let's talk about Bare Skin today. Tell me about what was your motivation to start this venture?
Thank you. Thank you for the kind introduction. It was Bare Skin was actually a brainchild of a couple of things that happened in my life. I had three kids before 30 and absolutely no time for elaborate skincare or, you know, makeup routines that were very trendy at that time. This was about 8 years ago when that was a trend. The influencers, YouTube had just, you know, gone crazy with all of these elaborate tutorials. And I just didn't have the time with a full-time job and three kids and so much going on in my life. So I was looking for quick fixes and products that worked. I didn't have time for trial and test. And when I looked for it, it wasn't there in the market. So that's when I started, you know, reading more about ingredients, reading about how I can source these things just for myself. It was actually just for myself. And that's how it all began.
Okay. So tell me about the work that you're doing at Bare Skin and some of your products.
Sure. So it's very heavily based on Singapore. We've been here for a while. We've traveled around the world, but we found Singapore to be the best home base for us and the kids and my husband and I. And Singapore weather is really brutal on your skin because it's very humid. And also children. All of my three kids had different issues with eczema, psoriasis, and a lot of autoimmune triggers that they have with their skin. And a lot of the mums were talking about it as well. And with that sensitive skin, you need products that are very clean, very pure, and that can be used even on babies and stuff. So that's when I started working with a lab here in Singapore. I told them exactly what I wanted. And I think the most unique thing about our product is it's for the entire family, the husband, the wife, the kids, acne prone teenagers, eczema, all of that comes under that umbrella. So when I spoke to the lab, they said that's a bit difficult to achieve because skincare is so specific to specific targeted needs. Said, no, I want to replace everything in the bathroom countertop with all that clutter. I just want a couple of products and we stick to those for the entire family. So that's how the idea started. And it seemed to be a hit with everyone who tried it. Initially, it was supposed to be just, you know, my friends trying it out. And then some of my friends are retail store owners here and they fell in love with it after using it and said, oh my God, this actually works. And some of these store owners were males and they said, you know, we need something like this as well, because there's not much in the market out there. So it was kind of a disruptive product with a very different perspective and idea. The big boys in the skincare market try to differentiate between different skincare types and because that's where the money is, right? The more you kind of go into these different skin types. But that was not my agenda from the get-go. So I think people saw that and resonated with it and related to it.
And, you know, when I was reading about you, Sabina, there was a phrase that you use called fusion skincare.
Yes.
What is the meaning of fusion skincare?
So the skincare right now, when you look at it, it's going into the modern perspective with LED light therapy, and you can hook your skincare gadgets up to your phone. There's Wi-Fi and tells you like skin cells and things like that. But I decided to go the absolute different direction, opposite direction. So we live in Asia, especially India, Singapore, China, Japan, where we have these ancient techniques like Ayurveda and crystal healing and Gua Sha and all these acupressure points. And so I started exploring that alley, which was a contrast to what was happening in the market. So this is where we take the ancient techniques from the cultures that we grew up in and the modern ingredients and scientific ingredients like niacinamide and lab tested ingredients. And then you fuse it together to get the maximum result.
Wow. Wow. And you know, you a few minutes back, you just mentioned, you know, the whole thing about the big boys. The beauty business is large, but it's also overcrowded.
Yes.
What is the niche that you have identified for yourself?
True. So it is a very noisy market, right? There are a lot of these big brands, and they're at such an affordable price that, you know, how can you convert these users to something that you're creating? I think the value proposition lies in tried, tested, and efficient. And also, we're at a price point that's very affordable. The moment the big boys talk about clean, their price point goes up. The moment they mention sensitive skin, their price point goes up. So me and my team have maintained, of course, we take a bit of, I mean, quite a miss in the profits, but we've maintained a very affordable price point because as a mother, I know what it feels like to, you know, buy a $300 cream. You just aspire to do that, but you actually can't. Sure. So the price point is really important for us. We call it affordable luxury. So it's products that are luxe, that work, but at a price point that's affordable. And also multi-purpose. There are very few multi-purpose brands out there because that doesn't make the money. So multi-purpose is a huge, huge deal. And I bring in a lot of personal perspective as well. I try and test all the products. And the customer base that we have come along with me on the journey. Like I document my lab, you know, sessions, I document my interviews. So they feel like they're part of the journey. And whenever I'm at a crossroads, I always ask my audience, should I go with dark gray for my logo? Should I go with white? Or should I go with the fragrance or no fragrance? So they feel like they're part of the product that come out. Right. When they're using it, they feel like they are part of the journey, which is actually very, very unusual in the skincare space.
Amazing. And yet, Sabina, you're making a paradigm change in the way the beauty business is done. I mean, you know, you've decided that all your products are gender neutral.
Yes.
Which somehow or the other, you know, and for a person of my vintage, it seems to be counterintuitive, you know. The skin of a man is different from the skin of a woman, and that's just my assumption. What are your thoughts on this gender neutrality that you have decided to position yourself as, and how do you expect the big business boys to react?
So men have been very interested. Suddenly, there's been a pattern in the change of the way they spend on themselves. Mm-hmm. Previously, it was only women who spent on themselves traditionally, but now a lot of men are very intentional about the way they look, the way they feel. Mental well-being is a huge deal for men as well. It's not only a female-oriented thing. So that market, there's a huge gap in that market. Men also want to feel good, look good, and look healthy. And our slogan, Dare to Wear Bare, is also gender neutral. It could apply to male and female, and it refers to your skin. And men have a lot more stress on their skin because of the shaving and the micro cuts that they have and things like that. So essentially, males need more skincare because of the shaving and the harsh aftershaves and stuff that you use. Like, you know, your aftershave stings you, right? When you put it.
Correct.
Imagine the torture you're putting your skin through on a daily basis. Right. So once we use something as soothing as our facial elixir, which is so soothing. In fact, we have even cancer patients use it after chemotherapy and their skin is so raw and broken. And they say this is the only product that doesn't sting because it's so pure. So I feel like men need more skincare than women. And we've been trying to educate the male audience, and we see that in our purchase patterns. And one of the biggest selling days for us was Father's Day. Unusually, we didn't expect that. But Father's Day was when a lot of the men got them as gifts when we started off. And then they replenished as soon as they finished. So that's how our male customer base grew.
Wow. Wow. Which means that what you're really telling me is that men are beginning to start accepting grooming as a part of their normal life rather than just say a good shave is all that I need.
Exactly. And it's painful. I mean, why hasn't anyone done something about painful shaves?
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. So moving on, Sabina, there's another view. And again, this could be an incorrect view. But when I was reading some articles, women over 40, 45 generally believe that the beauty industry has ignored them. And if they've looked at over 40, 45, 50, then it's more for wrinkle cream.
Yes.
Right. I'd love to get your perspective on how your products seem to be applicable to age, the age neutral, gender neutral? How does it work?
Yes, it's funny how as soon as you cross a certain age barrier, anti-wrinkling, anti-aging, that kind of fits in. So when we started our brand voice, there are a couple of things I did not want to use in my branding. One was whitening, brightening, all of that. And the other was ageism. I said, you know, because I am in that older category right now. And I struggle to find products that are just addressing a skin need, like hydration or nutrition, nourishing or nutritious, instead of fighting the age battle. And there is nothing wrong with aging gracefully. I'm very okay with going either way, the Botox way or the natural way, whatever pleases you. So when we speak to our audience in that gender neutral, age neutral tone, the response is amazing. I do a lot of live chats on my Instagram. We have an app in Singapore called Lazada. We go on live there as well. And the moment I talk about myself, it's very personal. And actually, I'm putting myself in a very vulnerable position. I understand that. But that's how I think my customer base relates to me. I tell them today, I look really puffy. And I've had like a salt chart last night. And the salt has made me have water retention, wrinkly, the sun. I was at the beach with my children. And it's just very natural. It's very normal. And the more we normalize it by talking about it and accepting it, right now there are lots of skincare companies that are refusing to use skin filters and refusing to edit their or Photoshop their pictures. I think it's slowly becoming normal. And we are on that wave, riding that wave and at the crux of it. And I think it's a beautiful movement. It's already happening. And I absolutely love my slogan. I might be biased, but Dare to Wear Bare is just, I find it so beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fantastic. So moving on to another aspect of bare skin, now, wearing your hat as an entrepreneur, what have been some of your challenges as you have scaled up?
The challenges have been quite a few, especially when the pandemic hit. Before the pandemic, we were on a proof of concept mode. We're like, we have this concept, let's see if it works. And then we were like, oh, wow, it is. There's a response to it. So let's change it into a business model. And when we did that, that's when COVID happened. And we were like, oh my God, this timing is really not the best. But we really pivoted very fast. We completely, our focus was retail, where we were going to show the touch and feel factor of all of our tools. But we pivoted to online and we pivoted to having a lot of exposure through Instagram and giving them value add besides selling. So it's like, I'm not only selling you the product, but I'm telling you this problem exists. That's how we combat it. We started engaging a lot of female entrepreneurs on our platforms. People were hungry for content. So we said, let's put selling aside for now. And let's give them content that nourishes them from within. And brand awareness just peaked at that time. I think we pivoted at a very right time. So that was one of our biggest challenges, that what we did with COVID. And how we produced content, how we positioned in our business. But it worked in our favor. The other really big challenge, I think, is recognizing my weaknesses. Like I thought I could run it as a one-man show. I thought, I'm like, oh, I've got this. I know how to do this. But not no one knows how to do everything. So recognizing my weakness and saying, look, this is what I do not know how to do. And how do I bring someone else in? And that brings me to my third challenge, which is people. People feel passionately about your product, your brand vision. They see where you want to go with it. And aligning with your team, that was really also a huge challenge. So when I say recognizing my weaknesses, I think I'm good. I recognize that I'm good from how to take something from zero to 10, but from 10 to 100, I don't think I know how to do it. And that's when I said, I need to bring in someone who knows how to do it, who's done it before. And it's been incredible learning as well. I don't pretend to know all the answers. I'm in a lot of meetings where, I'm just silent the whole time because I'm listening to the number crunching that's happening, the scaling, the different countries, what works, what doesn't work. I think the moment you accept that you do not know all the answers and you are in it to learn as well as the other person, that changes the paradigm a lot. So those, I would say, were some of the challenges that we faced.
Fascinating. And Sabina, the beauty industry is also facing its own set of challenges from the perspective of sustainability, mm-hmm. you know, which include eco-friendly packaging, green formulations, transparency, traceability. Mm-hmm. How are you handling a lot of these for Bearskin?
It's interesting because doing the thing that is not sustainable is so cheap and so easy. Correct. So as a business, you're like, oh my God, this packaging is, you know, X dollars and the sustainable packaging is X times five. So which one? And we live in Singapore where we're surrounded by Taiwan, China, mm-hmm. Malaysia. They all have these cheaper options that look exactly the same, feel exactly the same. Yeah. But if it's in your brand ethos, we have to really make a conscious effort. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you see our testers, usually testers come in sachets mm-hmm. that are one-time use and throw. So instead of doing testers, we did travel size products, which are in a glass bottle that can be resealed, used multiple times. And it also gives the customer the experience before they jump in and buy the full size product. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was more expensive. Yes, we had to write off most of it as marketing expense because, you know, that's too little to charge someone mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. And yes, sachets would have been the much cheaper option, but the carbon footprint it creates is crazy. Mm-hmm. And also when we rolled out our tools, usually tools come in a cardboard box. You remove mm-hmm. the tool and throw the box away. Mm-hmm. But we started because a lot of them keep their tools in the fridge. So mm-hmm. we said, let's come up with a packaging that's packaging plus they can store it in the fridge. Mm-hmm. So it has to be multi-temperature. It could be outside. It could be inside. And then the packaging becomes part of the experience. Mm-hmm. So if I'm spending so much on my packaging, let me make it a part of the experience. Mm-hmm. So I think there are ways to go around it, mm-hmm. But it's a shift that definitely has to happen because the amount of waste that we see is just crazy and it will catch up to us.
I agree. Well said. Well said. And good luck with all the stuff that you're doing. You. My next question, Sabina, is, you know, for Bearskin, which you said is age neutral, gender mm-hmm. neutral, mm-hmm. What are some of the changes that you are beginning to see when it comes to customers who are millennials and Gen Zs? Mm-hmm. And you're probably an older millennial yourself.
So. Yes. I think I was the last year in the millennial bracket. I have kids that are Gen Z, so I completely relate to what they're saying. I think a huge difference between millennials and Gen Z is millennials talked about being carbon neutral, doing things the right way. But execution is what Gen Z is doing. It's no more talk now. It's no more, you know, airy, fairy, fluffy talk. It's they're executing it. They're doing it with their decisions, with their daily purchases, where they travel, everything. They're just encompassing it and executing it. So I think a lot of the skincare space as well is being less cluttered and talking to them very directly and saying, this is what we're doing. This is how we are targeting and reducing our carbon footprint. They want actionable, responsible behavior. Mm-hmm. As much as we put Gen Z down and say, you know, oh, they'll amount to nothing and they're just pampered by their parents, I think they're doing really well. And they're executing with their daily behavior. It's not like sitting in a conference with, climate change and things like that. They're actually emulating it in that daily behavior. I see my kids do it. I see my daughter do it. Mm-hmm. In fact, they even think about it. For example, for COVID, we have all these ART tests, right? Mm-hmm. And I was testing my kid for school and they're like, there's so much waste and plastic in one ART test. Mm-hmm. Is there a better way of doing it? And I didn't even think about it. You know, it didn't even cross my mind. Yeah. So I think the entire thinking is very different. And if we can capture that, I think selling to them is very easy. They just want transparency. A big part of our business now is you can trace back the ingredients that we use and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's. I think it's in the right direction.
Amazing, amazing. So Sabina, one more question relating to Bearskin and then a few questions after that. You had mentioned that you were planning to take Bearskin International. Uh-huh. What do you see as some of your opportunities and some of your challenges?
Actually, if you see my brand, it says Singapore, Bearskin Singapore. It's so Singapore heavy because at that time in my life, I really didn't think it was, you know, going to be what mm-hmm. it is today. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll just source everything from Singapore because I'm here and it's easier for me because this was just supposed to be for personal use, right? Right. And now when, thanks to Instagram and, you know, a lot of these platforms that are actually multinational, it's not mm-hmm. a specific nation. Mm-hmm. We have got inquiries from a lot of platforms and countries and stores and retail. Because Singapore, especially after Crazy Rich Asians, I feel like Singapore has built itself a brand in itself, and everyone's very curious about things that are coming out of Singapore. It's put us on the map. So when we do enter countries, which we are shortly, we're actually thinking whether we should keep that Singapore branding within our logo and also our ethos. I really strongly believe we should, and a lot of the countries will respond to it. Singapore comes with its branding, and we do things here very differently. I've been to some of the factories in other countries, and when I compare it to my Singapore lab, there is no comparison. The level of standard is different. We have to admit there is practice of, you know, labor laws and cleanliness, and it's really top notch. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the world will get a taste of it, and I'm really looking forward to it. We do have to kind of talk to the local audience, mm-hmm. but with the lens of Singapore. And I think the Singapore government also has been very encouraging. STB, which is Singapore Tourism Board, mm-hmm. Has given us a lot of push, given us a lot of media exposure, because they love brands that are Singapore proud. Mm-hmm. And we are Singapore proud. And I think taking us to other nations would just, you know, shine Singapore even brighter. And I can't wait for that.
Absolutely. And Singapore always has this inherent strength of credibility, you know, that comes with it. Mm-hmm. So, Sabina, just one more question for you, and this is for the many people who will listen to this conversation. Uh-huh. In conclusion, what would you say are three key life lessons that you would want the audience to take away from this conversation?
I can just speak from my experience, mm-hmm. and I think consistency is so, so important. There are no shortcuts to success. There is no foot in the door, and you know, you can get your foot in the door, but you better, you know, step up, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of them see the glamorous side of entrepreneurship, the interviews, the podcasts, and you know, it's a lot of fun and the glamorous images, but there is a lot of hard work. And you know, when I go into the labs, like I'm literally in a hoodie and a cap and sweating, sitting there because there is no aircon, and sitting and, you know, hashing out formulas and stuff. So you have to be willing to do the hard work. Mm. If you are in it for just the glam side, you're in it for a disappointment. The glam wears off very fast. Mm. That's number one. Consistent hard work, I feel like, has worked for me. Mm. Number two, surround yourself with people who inspire you and motivate you and fill your life with positivity. It's very easy to get the negative space get into you right now, especially because, like, for a brand like mine, where I'm so out there, actually, you know, I sometimes really struggle to think about how much of is too much of putting myself out there. I'm exposing my children, I'm exposing my personal life. And of course, there's a lot of negativity that comes your way, but you have to find a way to zone it out, focus on the people around you that are also entrepreneurs who also know the struggle, learn from them, motivate each other. That's one thing, surrounding yourself. Which leads me to the last one is, be very open to learning. You're never too smart to learn anything. Like, you don't know all the answers, and go in with that attitude when you go into a meeting. There are no stupid questions. Just be very open to learning. I still do, like, for the last 18 years I've been in marketing, but I'm still doing courses online because marketing is changing so much. The algorithms are changing so much. Mm-hmm. I still sign up. Sometimes when I'm in these classes and I know people, like the person who's holding the session, she's like, what are you doing here? You shouldn't even be here. Like, you're doing so much more than what I'm going to teach. And I said, no, I want to be on top of things and learn. And even in meetings, don't be in a rush to give your opinion. Hear people out, see what they have to say. And just have that learning cap on at all times.
Wonderful. Well, you know, Sabina, on that note, you know, taking Bearskin Singapore to Bearskin the world, mm-hmm. thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your amazing journey in creating this incredible brand, incredible product, which is not just gender neutral, but age neutral as well. Thank you for talking to me about your own philosophies of what makes you tick in such an amazing manner to keep learning constantly, and reinventing yourself and your brand.
Thank you
for speaking to me, and good luck.
Thank you so much for doing this. The brand called you, when I looked at your website, there is a treasure trove on the note of learning, right? There's a treasure trove that you've, you know, built the content with all of these multiple people who have so much to, we have to learn from. So thank you for doing this and spending your time on this. I really appreciate this.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the Brand Called You.